Welcome to the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio. I'm Dora Walsh, nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems such as obesity, low immunity, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, digestive problems, out-of-control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important developments that can really aid you in your quest for health, energy, and longevity. This week, we're talking about the insidious signs you may be dehydrated and the impacts on the body, and the results also of the hydration report, looking into the nation's hydration habits and some of the most surprising findings. With hydration, a known cornerstone of good health, new research reveals some surprising truths about the nation's hydration habits. In fact, whilst a whopping 97% of us understand that being hydrated is important, a third of us, 32%, admit that we can go a whole day without drinking any water at all. The research conducted amongst over 1,000 adults was commissioned by FIZ, the UK's number one hydration enhancer. Whilst 35% of people feel dehydrated every single day, more than two-thirds of us, 68%, have no set routine when it comes to staying hydrated. The report also found that more than half the nation is not drinking enough water daily, with a shocking 26% claiming they only drink water when they have a hangover. While the study shows that we are increasingly aware of the importance of hydration, people are still confused about how to stay hydrated. This week, we'll be talking with Dr. Paul Anastasiadis about the insidious signs you may be dehydrated, the impacts on the body, and the results of the hydration report, looking into these nations' hydration habits and some of the most surprising findings. Professor Dr. Paul Anastasiadis is a PhD neuroscientist, FIZ co-founder, and head of product development at FIZ. You can find out more about FIZ on their website, www.fizz.co, and follow them also on Instagram using the sign at FIZ. Welcome to the show, Dr. Anastasiadis. It's great to have you here.
Hi there. Yeah, thank you very much for having us on.
You've conducted an amazing report, 1,000 people looking at the nation's hydration habits. You've brought some really amazing findings. But before we go on to talk about the report and also the insidious signs that you may be dehydrated, tell us how you came to be an expert in hydration and why you're so interested in this subject.
Yeah, I guess my initial interest in hydration really stemmed, as I think a lot of people's does, from playing a lot of sport at university. I would regularly train for a number of different sports, from rowing, sport, football, tennis. And as part of trying to improve my performance, I would often take, or create my own actually, because I was a poor student at the time, rehydration solutions. So I leveraged I studied biochemistry initially and then subsequently went on to neuroscience. So I knew a lot about the underlying biochemistry that was required for hydration. And then when I moved to New York for my postdoc, I met the other co-founders of FIZ and we started talking about the idea of this company that we wanted to found. And at the same time, I was obviously traveling back and forth from the UK to the US, and there's this really important issue with being on an airplane cabin where you also become quite dehydrated because you're in this very dry cabin environment, and that can have various negative effects. And I was spending long days in the lab, and I was finding I was getting quite dehydrated there. It was affecting my energy and concentration. So this kind of three convergent features of my daily life, or regular life, I should say, made me really start to become very aware and focused on the importance of hydration. And that kind of led to, when we first launched the company, we had this messaging around play, travel, work. And those were like the three use cases built on our own personal experience as to when we thought people would want to use the product. And I think what actually this hydration survey and what we've come to realize subsequently, so the company's been going for around 10 years now, is that this is not just a sports issue. It's not just an airplane issue or what have you. It's actually a really important daily well-being issue. And a lot of people don't perhaps take dehydration seriously or, as you've articulated, understand how they should be focusing and taking care of their daily hydration habits. And so increasingly, we've been working around it, promoting this daily hydration message to try and help people stay hydrated and stay healthy.
As the founder of Fizz and as an expert in this area with a great backstory, tell us, what are some of the insidious signs that we may be dehydrated?
So there's a whole host. So dehydration is going to impact many different aspects of the way that your body functions, because our body is made up of around 60 to 70% water. So we're all very familiar with the kind of common features of dehydration. So things like having a dry mouth, having a sense of thirst. But I think a lot of people are unaware of some of the other impacts that dehydration will have on your body. So, for example, things like headache, fatigue, very common. There's also more sort of significant effects on your general cognitive function, which maybe we can discuss as we go through. And so I think people focus on the signs of hydration that we're well accustomed to, but often ignore many other aspects that are going to be detrimental to their both physical and their mental capabilities.
Yeah, and I guess when they're tired, they might just reach out for coffee. And if their cognitive function is impaired, they may think they have Alzheimer's or something. I have many clients coming to me and they have all these symptoms. And I realize, actually, you're just dehydrated. You need to have a sustained rehydration program in place. And then when people know how to hydrate, those symptoms go away and they realize it's normally not as bad as they think.
Yeah, exactly. I talked about being in the lab when I was doing my postdoc, and there we're not allowed to have food and drink for various health and safety reasons. And I'd come out of the lab and I would be really tired, and I would do exactly initially as you said, and I would just reach for a coffee and I'd chug a couple of coffees and it would help in the short term, but then I'd start to get headaches and I'd feel like my attention levels are really waning. And the more I stopped to think about it, I realized that I was probably just very dehydrated. And instead of coffee, I'd reach for either water or sort of an electrolyte product to help improve my hydration. And that really instantaneously just would improve my mental capabilities and my general feeling of energy. And you mentioned the elderly as well. So it's a really important point to note is that the elderly are particularly vulnerable to dehydration. So it doesn't just affect elderly people, but they really lose the brain's ability to sense that their hydration levels have altered, so their internal osmolarity. And that can lead to a reduced sense of thirst and therefore a reduced drive to seek water on a regular basis to keep their hydration levels topped up. So I know from sort of personal experience with elderly relatives, they can get themselves into quite a bad way, both cognitively and physically, and you rush them to hospital or call the doctor, and the solution is just to give them some water or give them some electrolytes to help rebalance their hydrations. And they, again, also bounce back very quickly.
I'm sure many of our listeners today, with elderly parents or even elderly people listening, are experiencing the same. It's very hard for them to feel the signals of thirst. And actually, it's sometimes really hard to get them to drink. One has to look at effective solutions that make water palatable, because it's not always easy to drink a glass of cold water. People don't, and especially older people, they weren't used to it. Because in the old days, people didn't drink too much water. They find it crazy that younger people today are drinking 2 liters of water a day. So it's all about how do you get them to do it, because it is extremely important and it is an issue. Now, Fizz has just released a hydration report looking into the nation's hydration habits. What were some of the most surprising findings, Dr. Paul?
So I think that some of the most surprising findings really around people's, they're very aware that hydration is important. So they are focused on wanting to hydrate. Around 97%, I think, was the number, were realizing that hydration is important, but only a third of us are admitting that they don't consume water on a regular basis. And so that shows this real big disconnect between, you know, what our knowledge is that we were aware of hydration and our regular daily actions. And so this actually agrees with a number of other studies that have been undertaken. So there was a huge study published a few years back looking at many thousands of adults across a whole host of countries. And they found something similar to us, that around 50 to 60% of people are not consuming sufficient levels of water on a regular basis. So they're falling well below the recommended daily guidance. And there are other studies that have actually looked at things like blood osmolarity and urine concentration. And they find that actually 20% of people, so one in five, the regular population, is sort of meeting criteria to be classified as chronically dehydrated. So this is a really big problem. Like one of the major issues is this kind of lack of understanding of what we need to be doing on a daily basis to sustain that hydration. Although saying that, I do think that one of the things that we've seen is that this space has really massively expanded over the past few years. And I think people are increasingly conscious and more likely to say, reach for an electrolyte drink or water than they were 10 or 20 years ago, as you say. I think the other thing that is quite important here is to highlight that whilst people are not drinking water or are only thinking of drinking water when they're hungover, which was another one of the surprising findings, I guess, we know that you can only go for a few days without consuming any water. So they must be having water in their diet from other sources. So I think educating people a little bit about what the sources of daily sources of hydration are is really key. So, for example, you mentioned that the elderly generation, people would often consume things like tea and coffee. I also myself consume a lot of tea and coffee. I think people can feel that these are not good for you. They don't provide any hydration. We're told that tea and coffee, they have caffeine. Caffeine's a diuretic. But often, actually, although there is a diuretic effect, so you do lose a bit more water than you would through urination, these drinks are still net hydrating, maybe with the exception of something like an espresso, because there's a lot of water in the drink itself. So you're taking on board water, so that's also still good. We can also do things like taking healthy food choices. So naturally, around 20 or 30% of the water we consume on a daily basis actually comes from foods rather than beverages. So by choosing foods that have a greater water content, things like salads and fruits, that's also going to give a significant source of water and help us to hit those kind of daily hydration targets. To go back to some of the other issues that were highlighted by the survey, there's a significant proportion of people that only associate the need for hydration after, as I had alluded to at the beginning of my hydration journey, as it were, things like exercise or being hungover, they're not viewing it as something that they need to focus on a daily basis. And I think that is something that is quite surprising. We would often, the two things you need on a daily basis, obviously food and water. And arguably, water is more important because you can go longer without food than you can without water. But I think whilst people will often plan their next mealtime, what they're going to have for lunch or dinner, what have you, people don't have that same kind of conscious focus on hydration and where it's going to come from and what their strategy is for ensuring that they're adequately hydrated throughout the day. And I think that's a kind of a real take home for me from both our research and other research that's been done in this space.
People always think about food, don't they? It's almost like this addiction to food we're thinking about, and we have hunger. Most people do feel hunger. And in fact, many people have a problem with it, excessive hunger. So we're often thinking about what's for lunch, what's for dinner, what are we having for breakfast. A lot of women, they're very keen on their meal planning. They want to be healthy. But as you mentioned, they're not also incorporating the hydration into that and thinking, how am I going to get at those 2 liters in a day? Because that's quite a lot. And you can't just do it just before bed because you haven't done it throughout the day. So it's really important that people understand that this has to be part of their health profile. This has to be part of their daily habit. What do you suggest? How do you manage to get your hydration in every day?
So for me, I think an easy focus is I typically have a glass of water by the side of my bed. I'll wake up and I'll have some water as soon as I get going. Probably have a cup of tea or coffee as well. So I think embedding it into the beginning of your day is really, really important. From our perspective at FIZ, we're based on both the science and our own sort of beliefs around how people can better focus on hydration. We think that embedding it early in the morning is really, really important because prevention is better than cure in this. And we can go through some of the complex effects that dehydration will have on the body. But what you want to do is by the time you're thirsty, those effects have already started. It's too late. So your body can only sense that you're thirsty once those physiological changes inside the body have begun to happen. And so what you want to do is prevent that from ever happening by keeping yourself adequately hydrated from the beginning of the day. Because otherwise, you know what happens. You get up, you rush out of bed, you go have a shower, whatever. You start the commute, you're in a hot environment, you dash to work, you run into meetings overrun. And before you know it, it's 12, 1 o'clock and you haven't really consumed any water, you haven't focused on your hydration. You're maybe starting to feel really fatigued. You might be waning from a concentration perspective, et cetera, et cetera. And so embedding it into your kind of early morning routine, I think, is a really powerful way to prevent that sort of process from happening. Another thing you mentioned at the beginning, we know that it's much easier for your body to absorb regular, repeated volumes of water rather than just saying, I need to drink 2 liters. I'm going to sit down right here and now and chug down 2 liters of water. And that's me done for the day. Yeah. Because the body can't absorb it as effectively. And a lot of that actually will just pass straight through you and won't get into the body where it is needed to do all of the kind of key necessary functions. So one way that you also enhance water absorption is to use various rehydration formulas that use things like sodium and glucose to improve water absorption and retention from the body. So that's going to make the water that you are drinking work a little bit harder and get into the body more effectively. So there are a number of different things that you can do on a daily basis as part of having this routine. You need to be aware of it in the first place and start thinking about it proactively. You're not going to be able to drink water if you don't have access to it during the day, etc. All of those steps are really key, I think, to making sure that people can embed it in their daily routine, make those habits start to form. And that's going to make sure that on a regular basis, they're hitting that water consumption target.
You've made some really good points there, Dr. Paul. We're going to be talking a lot more about hydrations and the insidious signs you may be dehydrated, as well as what you can do about it, after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on the Nutrition for Me show, speaking with Dr. Paul Anastasiades. He's the co-founder of Fizz and Formulator. And we're talking about the insidious signs you may be dehydrated and how to support yourself. What can you do about it? Because so many people are not taking their hydration seriously. The thirst, once we feel thirsty, we're already chronically dehydrated. So what do we need to look out for? You may be fatigued. You may feel you have an effect, that your cognitive function is affected, and you may not have incorporated a hydration program into your daily life from morning to evening, and you may be just chugging down 2 liters of water in one go, thinking it's going to help you. And that's why we've got Dr. Paul on the show, to find out what we can do. We've been talking about how to incorporate hydration into your daily life, how to plan it throughout your day. We also talked about electrolytes, and I'd like to delve into that a bit more and understand why electrolytes and how electrolytes can help us to hydrate ourselves in a really effective way versus huge quantities of water in one sitting. So tell us a bit about that, Dr. Paul.
Yes, I think electrolytes are something that even more so than water, and again, this is something that kind of came out of the survey we conducted, people know they need water. They're also increasingly becoming aware of this concept of electrolytes and how this is something that offers various health benefits. But I think people are still a little bit confused as to what electrolytes are, why they need them, and what their kind of role is in both hydration and then other aspects of the body. And part of this is a terminology issue. Electrolytes often encompass things that previously have been referred to as minerals. There are some distinctions between the two, but often certain key minerals that dissolve in water then become electrolytes. They dissolve and take on this sort of ionic property that allows them to do a whole host of really fundamentally important roles in the body. So from a hydration perspective, the key thing there is that actually it's not just water in the body that's key. Much like drinking very salty water is bad for you, drinking lots of pure water in the absence of consuming electrolytes, I'm not saying you need to have it every time you drink water, but if you just keep drinking more and more pure water without any electrolytes in your diet, over time, that's also going to be very detrimental. So the key thing is to have this balance between the level of water and the level of electrolytes within your body. And that's like a core feature of the way the body functions. We have this process of homeostasis, and the body has organs within the body, such as the kidneys, which help regulate the levels of water and electrolytes in the body. And if that comes out of sync, then that can have a whole host of sort of negative effects. So what do electrolytes actually do? They're dissolved in the various solutions that make up the body. So in the blood, in the various fluids that sit in between the cells. And they're also contained within cells. And essentially, cells can use electrolytes as an analogy, like a battery, right? When we have a battery, we can use it to generate electricity. Within the battery, ions will move, and that creates an electric flow that generates electricity that can then be used to do some work. Cells also store electrolytes across different components of the membrane of the cell, and that allows these gradients of electrolytes to do important work in the body. And there are a couple of key examples of that. So for example, we know that in the brain, the movement in and out of electrolytes within neurons is key for the signaling that allows communication and coordination of all of the processes that depend on the brain and the central nervous system. So our thoughts, our actions, our movements, and all this kind of stuff. In other parts of the body, it's really important for regulating various chemical reactions, the metabolism of food. And so essentially, they're these small electrically charged molecules that can zip around inside the body and help perform very fast, very key metabolic reactions. In the context of water absorption, they also act as a kind of mechanism for absorbing water in the body. And so one of the reasons that we have specific formula that we have in Fizz is that we utilize this fundamental water absorption process in the body, which is this protein called the sodium glucose cotransporter. So if the electrolytes are the battery, this protein in the body is the motor that helps drive the absorption of nutrients and water into the body from your intestines. And this process kind of underlies all kind of oral, I should say, most oral rehydration therapy products that use electrolytes to improve water absorption. And the way that this molecule works is that it takes electrolytes, so in this case, sodium, and it takes glucose, so sugar, and it uses the gradient of the sodium as a battery, as I said, to drive sugar absorption into the body. And when it does that, so for every two sodium molecules and one glucose molecule that's absorbed in the intestine, at the same time, your body absorbs 260 water molecules that also get absorbed. And that's because the water molecules essentially move to balance out the flow of sodium and glucose inside the body. So that again highlights this requirement for both electrolytes and water to balance each other out throughout the body. And so in electrolyte solutions, you can utilize this process. So you can create drinks such as Fizz or other electrolyte replacement products that contain appropriate levels of sodium and glucose. And you can use that to help your body absorb water more efficiently. And, you know, that's that in the context of hydration, that's why electrolytes are so fundamentally important.
Somebody doesn't have that right balance of electrolytes in their body. Are they just going to get dehydrated however much water they drink?
So it depends on the specific imbalance that people have. So most people don't have severe sort of imbalances, although it can occur in certain sort of medical conditions. But if you consume, so people are probably familiar with this term isotonic. Again, it's kind of popularized, but I don't know the extent to which a lot of people fully understand what it means. So isotonic means that concentration of things like salt and sugar within the drink that you're consuming match the concentration that's found inside the body, right? If there's an imbalance, either internally within the body or through the drinks that you're consuming, it will alter the way that that fluid is processed by the body. So pure water is absorbed into the body, although it's not as absorbed as effectively because it lacks the sodium and the glucose to drive this additional water absorption process. Something that has a very high concentration of electrolytes, much more so than normally found in the body, is going to actually draw water a little bit out of the body and actually can be dehydrating, which is why, you know, we know that you can't sort of use seawater and other drinks that have very high concentrations of salt in them to rehydrate yourself. So people will get them from their diet. People will have salt in their diets as well, but it can be used as an additional tool to enhance and accelerate that water absorption I often think of these kind of things that they're tools that you use in your kind of, you have in your arsenal to support your daily nutritional intake. So you don't need to use them all the time, but if you're feeling particularly hydrated or you want to ensure that you're topping yourself up with both the water and the electrolytes at the same time, you can use it in a really convenient and powerful way to kickstart that hydration at the start of the day or what have you, and make sure that you're going to have these ingredients that are going to be really fundamental.
Yeah, I'm sure our listeners are going to be very interested in what you're doing at Fizz, because I know you are the founder of Fizz. You produce those kind of electrolyte products. I've tried them myself. In an ideal world, how much should we be drinking and when?
Yeah, so I think this is, again, something where there's some knowledge, but a certain amount of confusion. So there is official guidance on this, and I'll explain where the numbers for that kind of come from. But it's also really important to note that there are a number of different factors that can influence your own personal needs for water and hydration. And it's key that people are aware to identify some of those signs that we've talked about previously. But broadly speaking, you need around 2 liters of water a day, and maybe slightly more for males and females. And that guidance does vary in the UK and Europe. That's the kind of number. In the States, they advocate for a little bit more, closer to 3.5 liters per day. And that number comes from understanding the kind of main sources of water loss in the body and essentially trying to compensate for that loss. So we know that the main drivers of water loss are things like essentially going to the toilet. So you can lose 1.5 liters a day through doing that. That is another main one. That's very variable. It depends on the person. It depends on the climate. Climate in general can impact your dehydration levels. For example, there's a really nice study that I like that looks at airplane cabins. So airplane cabins are very, very devoid of moisture. They have around 10% humidity. So for context, the Sahara Desert's about 30% humidity. And that kind of makes sense if you think about it. You're in an airplane, you're flying above the clouds. So the air up there has very little moisture because it's already condensed and has formed those clouds. So you're drawing in this very dry air and your body is being exposed to that continually. And in this quite nice study, they put people in a simulator that replicated that environment. And they found that putting them in there for around 6 hours, which is, I guess, similar to a flight from London to New York, led to a significant amount of water loss. So they would lose around 600 to 700 milliliters of water, even though they were given a bottle of water to drink during that time. So just being in that environment is enough to cause this. The key number for dehydration is around 1 or 2%. So obviously, the more dehydrated you get, the worse the effects of dehydration will be. But around 1 or 2% is when you start to see the cognitive effects and the physiological effects on your body. So already, just by sitting in a plane in this dry environment, you're losing a huge amount of water. And one of the main drivers of that is this process called insensible water loss. So this is essentially water loss that you're unaware of, but it's happening every time you take a breath through the water vapor that comes out in your breath. So this is typically around 500-600 milliliters, so about a pint of water every day, but it can be as much for as, it can account for as much as 40% of the water that you lose, particularly in those kind of air cabin-like environments. And actually, one of the things we've done at FIS is we partner with Emirates Airlines to try and counteract this process by supplying our products to all of the people in their first-class cabin to offset this water loss that's happening. And that's going to help overcome things like jet lag and what have you.
Just remind me of your company again, FIS, the website for your company, for our listeners today, if they're interested in the rehydration products.
Yeah, so the company is FIS and our website is www.fiz.co. So all of our products are available there and major retailers throughout the UK.
I've noticed you're in the supermarkets now, is that right?
Yeah, so we're in, so most of the major retailers, Sainsbury's, Tesco's, Waitrose, Boots, Holland & Barrett, Morrison's and other places across the UK and increasingly internationally as well.
That's quite a new thing though, isn't it?
It's been expanding rapidly. So I think in line with this category is really growing. And so retailers are taking a lot more interest in it. We've been expanding year on year. We sold 65 million Fizz tablets last year, which led to us being like the kind of number one leader in the UK in this space.
Yeah,
it has been a really good year for us. And also for the, I think the country's awareness of hydration more generally.
Yeah. And I hope our listeners are really understanding from this talk that we're doing the importance of hydration and how you can hack your hydration, what you need to think about, thinking about it in an intelligent way, enhancing your hydration, whether that's through your diet, through your timings that you're drinking, trying to make sure you do it early in the day so that you don't even feel thirsty. And at that point, it's too late. These are all really good tips, as well as the electrolyte products, the Fizz electrolyte products that people could use to support their hydration levels, and especially if they're traveling or they're prone to dehydration or maybe they find it hard to drink water regularly. And even this can make it easier because they're quite palatable products. I've tried them myself. They taste good, so you're more likely to drink them. We're going to be talking a lot more about the insidious signs that you may be dehydrated and how to support your hydration levels with Dr. Paul Anastasiades, co-founder of Fizz, after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Listener Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on the Nutrition for Me show, and we're speaking with Dr. Paul Anastasiades. He's the co-founder of Fizz, and you can find out more about their company on their website, and it's phizz.co, so www.phizz.co, or follow them on Instagram at Fizz, phizz. It's a special spelling. And they provide amazing electrolyte products that are really effective at hydrating the body and super tasty too. Now, earlier in our show today, Dr. Paul, you mentioned that 1/5 or 20% of the population are drastically dehydrated. They're meeting the criteria for being drastically dehydrated. What does that mean?
Yeah, so essentially they have changes in their urine concentration and the concentration of their blood. So increased concentration of various solutes in there. And from a physiological perspective, that has a really profound impact on a whole host of different functions within their bodies or within our bodies. So as I've mentioned before, the body is around 60, 70% water. So you can imagine that it's really fundamentally important for all of the different components of your body. So we know that as you become dehydrated, for example, your heart starts to have to work harder because the blood that is pumping around your body becomes thicker as there's less and less water. And so this makes it harder for the heart to pump that blood around. So for around this 1 to 2% dehydration is when we start to see these physiological effects. And for every 1% that you become dehydrated, your heart is going to have to make an extra 5 beats per minute just to keep your circulatory system working effectively. So that's quite a big increase consistently over a long period of time. We also know that your digestive system requires water to help with digestion and food absorption. So in terms of absorbing nutrients and passing food through your digestive system, you need to make sure that there's water present in the system to help the digestive enzymes work and for food to move through the intestines. When your body starts to become dehydrated, it diverts that water to key biological processes because as we've said, you can survive for quite a long time without food, but you can only survive for a few days without water. So your body prioritizes water rather than nutrient absorption. And so that kind of impacts that process. There are many sort of long-term effects. So it can impact your immune system, particularly the linings of your mouth, your lungs, your nose and throat. So these mucosal membranes that sit on the surface of those structures, they need to be well hydrated to function effectively and act as a kind of barrier for various pathogenic viruses and stuff getting into the body. If they become dehydrated, the viruses can get in a little bit easier and you're more likely to get infected. And not just that, but just being chronically dehydrated is going to make your body feel run down. It can impact your cortisol level. So cortisol is a stress hormone, which can have a detrimental effect on your immune system and many other functions.
About, my eyes and my mouth and my mucous membranes, but that's all driven by the water, water absorption. And you don't really hear people thinking, I better drink some water because I need to hydrate myself to make sure I don't get eye infections. I know my daughter used to get eye infections, and I spoke to a naturopath because I always go to the naturopath. I'm not against going to doctors. And she said, we realized she was really dehydrated because she didn't like drinking water at all. It was very hard to get my little daughter to drink when she was younger. And when you get dehydrated, your eyes are dry and bacteria can take hold and you can get conjunctivitis. That's just one of the effects of dehydration. And these countries where people are terribly dehydrated, they are open to infections.
Yeah. So under normal circumstances, these surfaces, the mucosal surfaces, what they do is they act to like trap and push the trapped infections down into the stomach where they could be killed. And if that process doesn't work effectively because the mucus becomes dehydrated and thicker, it's going to have a really detrimental effect on immune system function.
Yeah, good point. Now, just before we finish, we talked a lot about the hydration and the benefits of the hydration supplements. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about how these hydration supplements can really benefit us in addition to water?
What they do is that they make your water work harder, right? They make it, you get more out of your water by adding additional nutrients, including electrolytes, although in some cases also, for example, in our product, others include sort of supplemental vitamins. So you can get a whole host of different important micronutrients just through this one product. And that's going to, as we said, if you make that part of your daily routine, you can make sure that your nutrition is fully taken care of from a very simple product that you can use on a daily basis. I think that, as we've said, the fact that people are aware they need to be hydrated, but not aware how to hydrate themselves is really an issue. And so hopefully podcasts like this, continuing to educate people, hopefully we've provided them with some useful information today that they can then take forward to try and use to improve their hydration and hopefully their cognitive and physical health from that.
It's been absolutely wonderful speaking to you and finding out more about what the insidious signs are that you could be hydrated are, what we can do about it. So if anybody wants to get the Fizz products you mentioned, they're available in all the major supermarkets as well as Holland and Barrett. Can they able to get them online from your website?
Yes, available online, Amazon, and again, major sort of online retailers. We've been quite lucky that I think people have now realized that we're, as I said, we're the number one brand in this space. So a lot of people have taken us on board and we're available wherever you can find these kind of supplements.
So listeners, I hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Join us again next week on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio. And thank you so much, Dr. Paul Anastasiades, co-founder of Fizz, fizz.co. Also follow them on Instagram at Fizz for coming on the show. And hopefully you'll come back again in the future.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a great pleasure. I'd love to come back.